Good evening and welcome to the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee meeting. My name is Nia Bediaco. I'm the chair, and our secretary is Jamie Ross. As usual, I always make a plea for you to please support one of the five stations in your listening area, because as you know, the more you listen, the more you learn. Without you, we won't have a network. So thanks very much for your continued support. Jamie, could you please call the roll?
Okay, let's see. Joe Wansala is not here. Mary Berg?
Present.
Okay, Ernesto Tico Johnson?
Present.
Excellent. Ian Johnson? He'll be absent. Don White?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Jack Van Aken?
Present.
Okay, Evelyn Bethune? Absent. Dots? Did someone just join the call?
You know, I just switched from a cell phone to a landline.
Okay, Jim Stutz is absent. Sandy Weinman, not here. Ambrose Lane?
Here.
Excellent. Carol Wolf? Not here. Lisa Davis?
Present.
Okay, Nia Bediaco?
Present.
And James Ross is me, I'm here. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. For those that are disabled and not able to see the... I apologize. I got distracted. Our agenda for tonight is 1, roll call and approval of agenda. Minutes, approval of the May 14th minutes. Set our next meeting date. Discussion of Joint Audit and Finance Committee meeting, and our old business here is discussion about the proposed draft of policies and procedures for the Pacifica Foundation, and our adjournment time is scheduled for 10:30 p.m. Jamie will keep our minutes, and I will be the stack keeper. Would someone be our timekeeper, please, who would like to volunteer to keep the time?
I haven't got a good way of seeing the time.
Okay, if you want, I can keep the time, or somebody else could.
I'd be happy to see our progress. I don't have a copy of the schedule of our agenda right in front of me, so I can call out milestones for the agenda. But I could say every time 10 or 15 minutes has passed.
Okay, who's that, Jim?
This is Ernesto.
Okay, Ernesto. Well, I'll tell you where we are, and I'll give you the minutes. I'll tell you when the clock should start. Okay.
Okay.
All right. The first thing, well, we did our roll call, the approval of the agenda.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
Yeah. Have we approved the agenda, or can I?
No.
No. I don't think we actually approved the agenda. And this is a very short, to-the-point agenda item. I believe we've had a resignation in the management at Berkeley, and the individual I'm referring to has often been identified as the auditor doing some auditing at the station level. Is it Mr. Yip, I believe?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering if we could just take a moment to discuss any input from this committee to whoever is going to be hiring that replacement, because we might want to submit some questions for interviews for that person. I don't know if there are any objections to including a short agenda item on that issue.
Is that normal procedure?
I didn't hear that, Ambrose. What did you say?
I ask, is that normal procedure?
I was just about to mention that. Don, do you? I don't think that's within our purview. That would be the management of Pacifica. If unless someone else knows more than I. Well, Ambrose.
Jamie would like to speak.
Okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad that Don brought this, because I wanted to put on the agenda something to ask. This is Alvin Yip you're referring to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized that he resigned. I was wondering whether we should ask him to come on one of our calls, because it was pointed out earlier that he does the internal auditing. So, according to Ross Wisdom of a couple meetings ago, one of our responsibilities is to provide oversight and, you know, to keep track of the internal audit issues, or to be aware of and provide oversight over these issues. So somehow we do need to be connected to whoever it is that's going to be doing this. And if Alvin's not going to be doing it,
Could I be recognized again? I'm sorry, Don White.
I'm finished.
Oh, when you're finished.
No,
okay, Don. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I think it's really important that this committee convey to our management in Berkeley that this is not in any way a kind of antagonistic or a threatening or challenging proposal. It seems to me they would almost welcome questions from this committee to pose to the nominees for that hire. Ambrose asked, is it general procedure? Well, it isn't general procedure for a committee of the PNB to inject itself into decision-making around hires. But I don't think they would see it as a kind of a threatening or antagonistic for us to convey in good faith some questions that we might like to have whoever is doing the interviewing ask the individual. I don't believe we have been close enough connected to what has turned out to be an outstanding employee. Alvin Yip has distinguished him. He has distinguished himself as an employee, but I don't think we've been closely enough connected to him. So I agree with Jamie that we could have some. Maybe it has to be informal. But I don't think it will be seen as inappropriate or threatening to have us express an interest in who that person is going to be.
Are you saying in terms of their depth of skill? What would you discuss?
You know what? I actually wasn't intending to discuss what this committee might like to propose as some questions, because I just want to get it on the agenda, because it's not my decision, it's the body's decision of what we do with it once it's on the agenda. So I think the chair could rule whether it's an appropriate agenda item or not, and then we should discuss it if it is an agenda item.
I think we might be bordering on, in my opinion, on micromanaging. And that I don't want us to be accused of. I think that whosoever is there should be quite capable of handling that situation. That's my ruling, that I don't think that we should be discussing that.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
Pardon?
Oh, we don't have to second. Sorry. Take it back.
I didn't hear that.
Ambrose moved approval of the agenda, and I seconded, but it's not. I take it back because we don't need to do that.
You need a second. Oh, okay.
We don't need.
Okay. So we started at 9:17. I forgot to notify about the time, so we have 6 more minutes. Does anybody have anything else that they want to add to the agenda? Hearing no other suggestion. Okay. All in favor of approving the agenda? Are there any objections to approving the agenda as is?
I would just like to be registered as abstaining, but I won't object, and I won't challenge the decision of the chair. I'll just abstain.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay. So, Jamie?
Uh-huh.
So we'll just, Don is abstaining. I guess everybody else is voting yes. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Well, actually, just a point of order. If no one objects, it doesn't mean that everybody necessarily votes yes. It just means nobody objects.
Okay. So call the, go ahead. Call the roll.
Well, you don't have to vote, but if nobody objects, it just, you know, approve without objection means
okay.
Just like
all right. That's fine with me. All righty. The next thing is the approval of May 14th minutes. Has everybody read May 14th minutes by Jamie?
I did.
Did? Any
I don't have
correct?
An objection.
Okay.
They seem fine to me.
Okay. Are you making a motion to approve
I move
the minutes?
I moved to approve the minutes. Sorry, that's what I meant to do. I'm sorry.
Okay. All righty. Any objections to approving to approving the minutes? And just pardon the background noise. Any objections? Okay, hearing none. Oh, boy, we're sailing tonight. Beautiful. All righty. The next thing is setting the next meeting date. Now, I looked at the Pacifica calendar, and I'm going to be away for quite a while in July. What I'd like to propose is May 16th.
May 16th? You mean?
I mean, not May. What am I saying? July 16th. Oh, my God. You know, I'm still in time warp here. Does everybody have their calendars?
Now, you mean we had a meeting. I think we had a meeting.
What day is July 16th on?
July 16th is a Monday.
Oh, I won't. Let's see. I won't be here.
Won't be here.
No. I'll be gone from the 15th through the 20th.
15th through the 20th. Okay, let me just.
But we had a meeting on the calendar for the 18th. Should that of June? Should that come off?
No, that's the joint meeting.
That's the joint meeting. That's right. Okay.
We're into July.
Right. I just wanted to check on that. Okay.
Not a problem. Well,
let's
see. 17th is archive.
That's a Tuesday. I couldn't normally do it on a Tuesday. Okay. But I'd be gone. I'm gone anyway from the 15th
18th through the 20th. 19th, governance.
So I won't be there then either. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe everybody else is, but I won't be.
How about Tuesday, July 24th?
Tuesdays are out, but I could meet.
Tuesdays are. And when Don and Mary, Don, Mary, Ambrose, when do you folks leave for the PNB meeting? The in-person PNB meeting?
The 20th, the end of July, the
24th. Yeah, 27th.
Yeah. 4th or something like that, like the last weekend in July.
I think it's 27, 28, 29.
It is. So we probably, but there might be something Thursday, so we might leave Wednesday. It's not certain. We might be able to meet.
Just one point, if I could.
Go ahead, Don.
United for Peace and Justice National Assembly is in Chicago. Oh, no, wait a minute. We're talking about July.
Yeah.
July.
Yeah, July. No, that doesn't affect that June. Excuse me.
Okay. So how about July 25th? You'll be leaving July 25th, you think?
Yes, we will be. Hold on a second.
That's a Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might be leaving.
I would prefer not to be so close to the PNB meeting.
Me too. Especially as, you know, sometimes they might have something on Thursday. I would too prefer that.
Right. And plus, you know, packing and getting ready and all that stuff.
And you make, yeah, right.
Not a problem. Geez. And Mary, you can't make Tuesdays at all?
No.
Ever?
Program council. At least for the next foreseeable future.
Was there something wrong with Monday, July 16th?
It could work for me.
Oh, okay. How about July 16th for everybody else? July 16th,
I think that
good?
Would work for me.
Okay. All righty. So,
sure.
Are you trying to say something, Jamie?
No.
Okay. So July 16th.
Do we have a time there?
8:30. How about 8:30? We'll go back to our regular.
Did someone just join the call?
This is Evelyn.
Evelyn,
hi.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Evelyn.
All right.
Okay, so July 16th at 8:30. Okay, great. All righty, moving right along. The next item is the Joint Audit and Finance Committee meeting. I didn't put any minutes next to that because it's just to remind people that we will be meeting on July 18th, the joint meeting with the Finance Committee to discuss the policies, the proposed policies and procedures manual. And Lisa, did you want to say something?
I was going to say, just is that, because I don't have the calendar in front of me, is that July 18th or June 18th?
18th, June 18th.
You said, okay, so it's June 18th. Okay.
Oh, if I said July, I'm sorry. I told you I'm in a time warp here. Okay,
is there a way to notice on there that it is
a joint
that
meeting?
It's a joint meeting on the calendar?
No,
because
I don't have.
Yeah.
Unless John could help me with that.
Well,
it only
could do it
gives
on
you
the...
one. It's either finance or audit. In terms of options, I wanted to do both, but I could not.
Maybe they could help you. Maybe
well, you could note it on the, you know, when you click on the date, that it was a joint meeting. At least that would show up there.
I think you can also put it down in the minutes and the information. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you could put it in the information because they're trying to schedule a conflicting meeting with that time, and I'm the only one impacted. But if it's finance as well, is there anybody on here who is in finance?
There shouldn't
no, of course,
be.
No, of course not. There can't be. What am I talking
can't
about?
Can't be.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, but on the other committee, there might be.
Madam Chair person, they might be able to be able to post it like that for that one special meeting. They might
okay.
be able to do that.
Well, you can put the information that way. You know, when you click on the date, then I know you can put it in there when you say either
right.
the agenda or... there's a line that says information. You can say joint meeting there.
Okay, so I'll go in and I'll do it. But I just wanted to put in the date really fast before someone try to book something in there.
Right.
A national board meeting. Okay, so it's the 18th at 8 p.m. And I'll send out a reminder, or Jamie will send out a reminder as usual, reminding us of that. All righty? Okay.
Yes.
Now, on to the meat of our meeting, which is the proposed policies and procedures manual. Did everybody download the file that I posted? Everybody see that?
I didn't
anybody
get it
at?
Yet. So.
Anybody want to look at it?
I'm having difficulty getting. Huh?
Okay. I guess that leaves, well, Mary, you, Jamie, and I worked on it.
Right.
We're sort of familiar. Is everyone by a computer that they could open it up just so we could go through it?
I am not. This is Ernesto.
Okay. Ernesto isn't. Is everybody else there?
I'm trying to get it.
I am, but I don't have the file yet. But
I have it here somewhere, so I'll find it.
What date did you send us that file?
1 second. I will place that all over my desk here.
Nia, I have, this is Jamie. I have a point of information.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you send out the one that Carol Wolf marked up?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
With the track changes. I'm just looking. Who was that? Evelyn that asked me the question?
Yes.
Okay, 1 second, please. I'm like Mary now. My computer is very slow.
I found it.
Found it?
Yes.
What date was
it? On the 6th.
6-6?
Yes, it says Draft Policies and Procedures Manual, yes. June 6th, Working Group, and then Revisions.
Right. Okay, does anybody have, do you see Carol's track changes? Oh, everybody falling asleep on you?
No, actually, I'm just trying to pull up the file.
Okay.
I'm going to try another way to do this.
Okay. I'll start from the top. Ambrose?
Yes.
Did you get a chance to look on it? I want to tap your...
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Is Carol's corrections in red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and the public is wondering why we're required. What we're doing, we're looking at this policies and procedures manual. We're not ignoring you.
Let's see, Nia, this is Jamie. Would it be appropriate for one of us from the work group to give a quick update on what we did so far?
Yes, absolutely. Why my color wheel turned here. Go ahead.
All right, well, on the 30th, Mary Berg, Nia, myself, this is Jamie, and Carol Wolf met on the phone for a couple of hours. And we went through it, and we kind of came up with various comments and questions and problems and queries, and Carol marked them down. And she turned those into a track changes Word document with our queries and changes marked in a different color. That represents the work that we've done so far. We didn't totally get to the end. We got through most of it. In my opinion, we found a few different kinds of things worth noting. Some of it seemed pretty good. Sometimes there were some problems issues such that it referred to policies that may be no longer relevant. It seems it's quite possible this document includes policies that are from a previous era and may not need to be here. And also there are some areas that probably should be covered in the manual but aren't covered in the current draft. We also another type of issue that we found was sometimes it was not that clear whether a national or a local position or procedure was being mentioned, so it would be good to be more redundant as far as what's national and what's local. And we also sometimes, from my opinion, one of the issues that probably needs to be dealt with is that there's many positions that are named, like employee positions that are named in this document, which may not exist at all the stations, and it probably needs to be revised to reflect what positions actually exist at the stations and at the national office. And some of the paragraphs we decided not to rewrite. I mean, some changes were obvious to make, but some we just decided not to make until we asked Lonnie for the exact policy or whoever else was involved, what Pacifica is actually doing now, and we'd have the policy to reflect that. And it was a pretty productive meeting in my opinion. And that's what I have to say about that.
Okay, Mary, do you have any feedback in the interim?
No, I don't have the file. If you sent it to me, it hasn't come. Is that what you're asking?
Okay.
It didn't.
For those of you,
I just checked and I don't have.
Okay. So far, can we just go to the first part, the introduction? Thanks, Jamie, for that recap.
Sure.
Okay. And
Mary, I'm resending this file to you.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'll check again.
I'm just having some issues here. This thing keeps jumping. For the introduction, Does everybody agree with that, with the listener support on and off air? We can go along with that change in the introduction.
I think I remember.
The revenue and receipts?
Yeah, I think I made that suggestion. So I think I probably.
Okay. Does anybody have anything that they want to change in that first, in that paragraph?
Good, I still don't have that.
Yours is slower than mine, Mary. Okay. Now we're going to listener support pledges and donations. And you folks see the track changes?
Point of information, Miss.
Yes.
Is there any way you could maybe send that file to me as well? My software is not letting me access it from the.
Okay.
Uh oh.
Okay, I'll just send it to you.
I don't know if there's a way you could send it as a PDF.
In an email. You want me to just put it in the email, Lisa?
Yeah, if you send it as a PDF, I think there might be that option that you can send as PDF, and it will let you do that. And I said POX on Yahoo.
Just 1 second, Lisa.
Sure.
1 second. Okay. Hold on 1 second, Lisa.
No problem. Thank you.
Jamie?
Yes.
Could you just continue through, since you're on the working group, for me while I do this for Lisa, please?
Okay, so we just want to review all the different paragraphs and talk about
and just to see if people agree if they want to, you know, say something different from what we came up with. Okay?
Okay, so the next paragraph, we're in the revenue and receipts section, which actually starts with several paragraphs of the different types of revenue streams that Pacifica has. So the next one, listener support pledges and donations. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. We had an issue with this one, the development director at each station. It's not clear that each station has a development director, so that needs to be changed. And it's not clear that the development director, even if they do have a development director, is the one in charge of the maintaining the MEMSIS data. So I believe we came up with some new language for that paragraph. So that's an example of trying to make it more flexible to reflect the job positions as they actually exist. So if anybody has any questions about that one.
Has this been seen by Lonnie Hicks?
Our questions?
Yeah, the changes in the question.
Yeah, Nia.
I actually sent this to Lonnie, and he sent me a response. However, I just got home. There's no attachment to it, so I don't have an answer, and I can't reach him right now. But I'm going to send him an email asking him. I don't know if he meant to attach it or what happened, but there's nothing there. But this was sent to him, and I spoke with him today. He said that he was going to address the concern. Go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, did somebody else have a question there?
Don White. No, I don't have a question, but I confirm that at KPFK, the development director is not the person in charge of maintaining that. I think it's in with Terry Guy and the subscriptions. Jack, are you still on the call? No. No, you're quite right. The development director is not responsible for that list, so I think the wording change is good.
Okay, good. Then I believe the next paragraph is stock donations, which we had a number of questions about. Our questions related, the problem with this, well, an issue with the stock donations paragraph is it kind of implies that if anyone donates stock to a Pacifica station, it will be liquidated. So we're not sure whether that's actually the case. Are all stock donations actually liquidated and then invested somewhere else?
And we weren't sure if that was a good idea to make it an automatic thing that it would have, that any stock would have to be liquidated. I think that was also what we thought, right?
Right. And also it mentions the foundation's investment portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there was also an issue here about where, correct me, Mary, because I don't have the updated version, but I'm going off my notes here. The stock donation to a station, this seems to imply that all stock donations to anywhere will go to the foundation.
Right, that was a question also that we had.
That was a question also.
I don't know if it's marked here, but it was. Yeah, okay, it is here, yeah.
Okay.
The question is here.
So those were our three issues with the stock donation paragraph. Does anybody else have any comments or questions about that?
Don White here.
Okay, go, Don.
Well, it's very timely because we had stock donated to KPFK recently, and I believe the donor intended it to go to KPFK. Now, it's all one big happy family, and it's one deal. It might be that the stock could be used to meet a station's obligations to central services, because you can actually identify the value of the stock at a given moment.
But I don't think that's ever been done to my knowledge.
Saying it's been done. I'm saying that it's a possibility.
Can I get on the stack, please?
Ernesto, I would also like to.
Okay, who is
that? Go ahead, Evelyn.
Evelyn?
It's Evelyn. Go ahead, Evelyn. Is the fact that the foundation is the holder of 501c3 possibly one of the reasons that it needs to go through the foundation?
Of course it is.
And that's for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Don White here.
I'd like to be on the stack also. Thank you.
Yeah, there was somebody else in there, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
That was Ernesto.
That was Ernesto.
Okay, what else is it? I'll take a stack. It's, who am I hearing?
Do you have Ernesto and I believe Don and Mary?
Ernesto and Don.
Is it my turn?
Ernesto. Okay, Ernesto, go ahead.
I just wanted to, I'm very interested to know the answer to that last question. Also, I personally assume, because there are very often announcements on KPFA asking people to give stock, and I'm very sure that nobody thinks that it's immediately getting swooped into the Pacifica Foundation and liquidated and then used for, you know, purposes other than endowing the station with, you know, comfort and security. And it's, even if it's logical, I don't know that I would think that it was appropriate.
Back again, please.
Yeah, we're going to do the same thing, Evan.
We're going to do what?
The only 501c3 entity is the foundation. When a person makes a donation and they expect tax exemption, it has to be the foundation. No station legally can do it. The only one that can give tax exempt status is the foundation.
Okay, the next person, Don?
Yeah, well, I kind of disagree with that. The 501c3 status covers the foundation, and five of its entities are stations. Actually, I think it would be absolutely legal and reasonable that a station could forward stock to the foundation, but it could be credited to them as part of their obligation to central services. If someone gives it to the station, then the station should get credit for it.
That's a different issue.
Can I get on the stack?
No, it isn't. It's the same issue.
No.
Well,
the donor cannot get tax-exempt status from a station. It can only get tax-exempt status from the foundation.
But that wouldn't preclude the station from forwarding that and getting credit.
That's a separate issue, Don. I'm saying.
Well, no, it isn't. Let's just disagree and let others speak. I disagree with you. Let's let others speak.
Can I get on the stack?
The next person on the stack is that Mary?
Yeah.
It was Mary.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, that's naturally that's true, as that's the legal entity. As far as the tax, the tax deduction status, tax deductible, but that's true of every donation that's made. You can deduct when you make a pledge. You don't have to send the money to the foundation. It's the foundation which gives you your. That's the legal 501c3 that sends the notice to the donor. But whether you donate stock or whether you call up in a pledge drive, I see no difference. So the stock, the fact of getting that the 501c3 is the legal entity, Ambrose is quite right. They're the ones that issue that, but that has nothing whatever to do with where the money goes.
Exactly.
And I know actually of cases where donors, if they mean the money, I have known of two different cases where if they had thought the money was going to go to Pacifica, they would never have left the stock and be liquidated. That would have been the end of that. And those are two completely different things as to the 501c3.
Can I get on the stack, please?
Then just as if the other way around, they issue Pacifica issues the paychecks, but it comes out of the station's money. So when the station gets revenue, the revenue should go to the station, and the acknowledgement of the tax deduction comes from Pacifica as the umbrella the umbrella entity. But I don't think we should begin to think at all about how that has any bearing. And as to Don's idea, to me that would be such a cumbersome process to go and find the value of the stock and which moment in time are we looking at if it happens to be at all volatile. It's much simpler if the stock is given to a station, it should go to the station.
Okay.
And then they pay their central services, they get the revenue, and the central services is just another matter. It gets billed. I wouldn't want to do the bookkeeping on that. It gives me a headache to think about it. I think the simpler you make the bookkeeping, the better off you are.
The next person on the stack is Lisa, and I heard Evelyn. And each person has 2 minutes to speak, okay? So let's
try to... used a half hour of meeting time.
Okay, this is this is probably a moot point, but I guess when Ambrose was saying that only the foundation can give tax exempt or whatever to someone, I was just going to just fill in because the stations are not recognized as legal entities, but the foundation is. So that was just my little comment.
Okay. Evelyn, you're next, then we'll move.
And I'll try to be brief. In the tax code, stock is handled very differently than cash is for Internal Revenue Service purposes. And the way that it's accounted for, the way that it's tracked, and the way that you have to deal with it. You can leave cash to a loved one, and they will not be taxed at, they'll be taxed at a certain rate. If you leave stock, they have a number of different kinds of things they have to do. Same way, if someone donates stock, it's handled differently because of the tax code. And because of the 501c3 status, there's a different way of accounting for it than if you're accounting for cash. So that has a lot to do with how you have to deal with stock when it's donated.
Okay.
Nia, this is Jamie. I have a point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, my point of information is for Dr. Bethune. Evelyn, is it these differences in the tax code, in your knowledge, is there something about that which would dictate that, say, stock would have to be dealt with at Pacifica's national office, but cash donations could be, handled and dispersed at the local level?
Sure, because the way our accounting is set up, and because all of our accounting, even though you can do checks and things on a local basis, it all rolls up to the national office. And all the reports and everything come out of the national office. and the business managers report to the national office.
Right, but I mean, where the money would say be credited to or live? I guess I'm still. I think you probably could explain why a stock would have to go to the central office, but a cash donation would not. I'm not clear.
It's basically, and what might make it a lot easier is if I can just locate the tax code and just send it to you.
Nope. Okay.
and a lot of tax codes change every year.
Uh-huh.
And they changed drastically with the changing of who's sitting in office. When Reagan was in office, they did major changes to tax law that affected donations, that affected what you can leave, you know, like if you die, what happens with your estate, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it benefited people who have a ton of money.
Oh, amazing.
Okay.
That's really surprising, isn't it?
No, it's not. And major companies were also written into tax codes for a certain number of years, like IBM and Hewlett-Packard.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually named in tax law and to get certain breaks up through, you know, when my grandson probably will have grandchildren. But, you know, that's like I say, tax law changes every year. So depending on what the law is right now, that can determine how you deal with stock, how you deal with, because some stocks come with different kinds of options on them.
Uh-huh.
That also determines how the Internal Revenue Service looks at what you can do with it if it's given as a donation.
Okay.
And that's one reason that most corporations have a tax department that handles stuff like that, because the tax laws are not easy. They're very complicated. And when you start to get into corporations and foundations with 501c3s, it even gets more complicated.
Well, I guess this section does say on the third line, after liquidation, thereafter, if requested, liquidated funds are forwarded to the unit involved. So
of course.
Saying that the money would go back to the station from where the stock was donated to.
That's the reason I said there were two parts to this whole question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't preclude.
Okay.
One second.
Our timekeeper said we only had 30 minutes. We only have 30 minutes left?
No. I said we had used one 30 minutes of our hour and 30 minutes.
Right.
Although
if
we end promptly, we have 25 minutes of actual time that we've been meeting now for 40 minutes.
Okay, great.
Point of information, please.
Okay.
One moment. Just let me finish my thought, please.
Okay.
Keeping that in mind, we have a lot of work ahead of us. I don't want to get bogged down in the stock thing. From my knowledge is that if the stock is donated to the station should, that's the owner of the stock, not the national. So since there's sort of, it's kind of like we have opinions on this, I think we'll wait to speak with Lyon. And then we'll hear what he has to say.
Excellent.
That's good, because there's been some misinformation, I think. So why don't we get real information from Lonnie and see where we can go?
Okay. But that only makes it, if it's donated to the station, then I don't see why. It's just like making a regular contribution to the station that is just donating stock instead. But in any case, okay, Jamie, go ahead.
Point of information, I'm sorry. Where are we at on the in the manual? What page?
We're on the first
page.
Grant.
Where are we here? Lisa, I can't send a PDF. I also had Baruti try it. I don't know what is going on.
No, I have received it, so thank you very much. But we're under the section of grants on the first page. Okay.
Does anybody have any notes for grants? The next thing we had is SCA income. Go ahead, Jamie.
Grant, you know, I don't have the marked up copy here, so if you have it, you could talk from the marked up copy.
Right. I don't have any suggestions there.
On grants.
So we didn't do any. The next point was the SCA income. And from the dramatic era there, we have a note here that says, it appears to contradict the auditor's annual report, which says that rent auditor's report, I think it's note number 9, it says that that SCA income should come back to the station to be used for special projects. That's what the annual report says.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this is saying that. These are all questions for Lonnie for clarification.
Right.
Does anybody have anything they want to add to that aside from Jamie and Mary and me? Anybody? Not that I'm limiting them, but does anybody have anything else? Because we've went through this.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When we're talking to Lonnie, are we like writing down? I know we have this marked within the document, but are we also maybe like writing down a list of questions separately for him that we want to really, you know, draw attention to?
Yes. What I'm doing is, as I'm going along, if you have additional questions,
okay,
I am getting them on what I have here.
Okay.
Well, I have a question, Don White.
You go ahead, Don.
Well, at KPFK, we have a very, very growing car donation program. I think so far this year we have $70,000 that we have realized from people donating their cars. They donate their cars, the money stays at the station, and the donor gets a 501c3 tax write-off for donating it to a nonprofit. So my question is KPFK actually granting 501c3 status to our listeners who donate their cars, or are other people on the call correct that it would have to go through the national office to be legal and appropriate?
Mary Berg, can I?
Okay.
Try it.
I'll take a stack real quickly. It's Mary. Who else wants to speak to this? Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, Don, it's kind of like, well, I don't know, analogies might not be good, but it's fairly simple if you kind of get the idea that the legal entity is Pacifica, so they
right.
issue the paperwork, but that is totally separate from where the money goes. The KPFK doesn't issue a tax-exempt certificate, and it doesn't issue a W-2 for a payroll or any of those sorts of forms. The foundation does that. That's the point of having the one that's a point of having the foundation, so that five different stations aren't quintupling the work. But that's totally separate from where the money goes. I mean, there's no point for each station to have a separate 501c3.
So the car donations would have to go
through. The car donations, whatever it is, whatever money, whatever that's valued to be, in order for a person to get a tax-exempt status, a value is put. I think usually the person puts the value. I'm not sure in the case of the cars how that works, but there is some value assigned, and then the Pacifica office would issue the tax-exempt status.
Okay, let me find out how that's being
But the money, done. The revenue would go to the station. They're two totally separate things.
That's absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Let me just make sure. I'll check with our development person and see how that's being handled at KPFK. So we shouldn't spend any more time on that. I agree with you, incidentally, that the 501c3 is held by the foundation. I just want to be sure that the paperwork here is being done accurately and so on.
You mean that the revenue goes to you? Or
the revenue stays at the station.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just want to be sure that processing is being done correctly, you know, through the foundation. Because we're contracting with a car donation firm here in Los Angeles. So I'll check that out. So let's not take any more time
okay.
on that.
Okay. All righty. Moving on to the affiliate revenue. Okay. This, I spoke with Lonnie about this. Ursula, I don't want to get another number for her on this live stream. I didn't hear from Ursula about this, but I talked with Lonnie, and he will certainly let us know about this affiliate revenue business here.
Yeah, this is Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could speak, just to let you all know, we on the work group found this paragraph to be very problematic, and we basically Chat wanted to, you know, have it redone from the ground up, I believe.
Right.
You want to state the problem, Jamie?
Pardon?
State the problem, please.
Oh, well, there's, it talks about the archives managing affiliate contracts. Our understanding is that's not really true. Programming is principally delivered through the KU satellite uplink and also a second uplink at WPFW. We actually don't know the status of that. And basically the involvement of Pacifica Radio Archives, our understanding that there's now a person in charge at the national office who's the affiliates director who is sort of doing this. And
that's what it says.
The affiliates director in the office. We change it to say the affiliates director at the national office manages affiliate contracts with community radio stations, permitting them to broadcast all Pacifica network programs. That's what it was changed to.
Mm-hmm.
Then took out the programming as principally. We took that part out, and then the next sentence would be: national office sets affiliation fees and negotiates contracts. And negotiates contracts annually. Affiliation fees are reviewed by, and monies are collected at the national office. Is that so, Ambrose?
Yes, it is.
Okay, format. Okay. So,
that part is not in my copy. That's funny. I guess I got
so,
lost somewhere.
Maybe it's just in. I don't. You still have the track changes on, Mary?
Yeah, I have that, but instead. Maybe other people have this too. The national office sets affiliation fees and negotiation contracts annually, period. Then I just have the word affiliation, and something was left off. So if somebody else has that.
I have the rest of it. Affiliation fees are reviewed by.
Right.
And
I don't
know. The national office, which Ambrose corroborated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must be a glitch.
Moving something. On to list rental income. Let's see. Does the grammar there was correct? It should be Pacifica list. Ambrose, what is what's the Pacifica list? What is that?
Let me take it out. Hold on a second. Foundation principal render is Pacifica list. This is monthly statement detailing the receivable. You got me on that one. I don't know what that is.
Well, we questioned, I think, that this was happening at all.
Yeah.
So we were okay in questioning that one. Does anybody have any questions, Evelyn or anybody else? Okay. Where it says rental income of the added of real property, and Lonnie needs to write a policy for that. And like I said, hopefully that's in the email that he didn't attach. But while we're here, does anybody want to add any language that we can suggest? Rental income of real property. Ambrose, I keep going to you because you're you were an actor.
No.
Mm-mm. No?
Let
Lonnie do that?
Yeah, Lonnie do that, especially where it says questions, no longer rent space, needs clarification. Let Lonnie do that.
All righty. Now, going on to the Pacifica leases, and we wanted to know to whom. Is it to third party space? We weren't quite sure. Right, Jamie and Mary?
Correct. It's not clear that, do we rent any space to anybody at this point in time?
Not to my knowledge. You used to rent space in Berkeley.
Right.
Well, yeah, right.
Okay. And then we had a question here. KPFA pays the mortgage, right? The question is no longer rent space to a third party. We just need clarification on that. I don't know what.
Does that mean? Mary Berg, I think I made that point because we pay the mortgage on our building in Berkeley, but we do not collect any rent from Pacifica, and that's been a contentious point for many years.
Okay.
Whereas elsewhere, rent is something Pacifica pays, but they don't pay us.
Oh, okay.
And we don't get any reduction of the central services. We just pay the mortgage, but we don't get any rent from them.
So Mary wants to make sure.
You hear me. That is a fact.
The building is owned by Pacifica.
That's fine. But then why doesn't Pacifica put the mortgage? KPFA pays the mortgage.
I have a question.
So,
okay, I hear a voice. What voice is that?
This is Evelyn. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Go ahead.
Okay, Pacifica owns the building. KPFA pays the rent, pays the mortgage. But KPFA is a part of the network, correct?
Well, sure.
Okay. Why
sure,
would Pacifica... I don't understand why Pacifica would pay rent.
Well, again, it's two separate things. I mean, there's the legal entity, and then within that framework, Pacifica has five independent stations within the legal framework. Those are like subdivisions. They're just simply divisions. You might have a family, and each person has an allowance, but it's all owned by whoever pays the taxes. But for the family's purposes, there's different accounting. Maybe they each have their checkbook, and they have their own money and all of that. So if we're paying the expense, then we should have the revenue. It shouldn't.
But
whoever pays the expense, either that or Pacifica pay the mortgage.
You're
and
actually
then when they rent the space out, which there is a space which could be rented if it were fixed up, then they could get that revenue. But it doesn't seem...
In actuality, because Pacifica owns the building, KPFA, even though they're paying the mortgage, is actually paying rent.
But
because they don't own the building.
That may be, but it... Okay, I...
Yep.
The legal thing is not what the same as the accounting systems that we set up for ourselves within Pacifica.
I understand the accounting system.
So I understand it's the legal entity, but then you could say the same thing for everything. They should get all the pledge money. I mean, it's the legal entity.
In actuality.
Well, that...
But it's not set up that way.
No,
Don
it isn't.
White here. Don White.
Hello. Okay. We can't sell that tonight. We're just putting things out there so that Lonnie can address these things. These are actually good conversation and good questions. I think I hear Don trying to get in.
Well, yeah, very briefly. To kind of support what Mary is saying, the National Archives are housed above KPFK in the KPFK building. So even though all of this is Pacifica, in actuality, KPFK gets a financial benefit from renting our floor upstairs to the archives. So there is, inside the foundation, transfers of money that actually recognize that while we're all one big family, there are units that that do make concessions. So, I mean, I think Mary's question is a good one, but it's not one that we can solve tonight.
No.
Right, definitely.